So I am very happy to be here once again to speak something about Buddhism. Normally, Buddhism is not a religion, but it is a science of mind. It's always talking about the mind and development of the mind. It always looks after for the benefit of all living beings. So that is why today I would like to talk something about the refuge, taking refuge towards Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. Now this taking refuge is very important. Though there are countless Buddhists, but many of them, they don't know the meaning of Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. So that is why it is necessary to speak something about that, so that many of them understand it. It benefits for many people who are interested. So before taking the refuge, we say that it is very important to turn your mind towards the Dharma. Now turning your mind towards the Dharma means, first of all, you must practice something about thinking that your human life is something really very precious. If you go on thinking on that and try to use it properly for the benefit of countless living beings, then you can realize the real preciousness of your human life. Secondly, it is necessary that the ever presence of impermanence and death is always there. Whatever we see, whatever we hear, whatever we feel, everything is impermanent. There is nothing that remains permanent. So, if it is impermanent, if it is some sort that there is no reality in it, in the outer appearances, then why we are taking more importance to that? We must know the meaning of impermanence. It is something like the cloud in the sky. It comes and it disappears. That means there is no reality at all. The bubbles from the water, it comes from the bottom of the water, from the ocean. It comes with heart, say, action. That means it is coming from there with zealous minded. And it, when it comes on the top of the water, or when it reaches the surface of the water, the bubble comes and it just goes away. That means there is no reality. Even though it comes with, as if there is very important work, but there is nothing. So this also shows that everything is impermanent. Like the lightning. Lightning comes, but it disappears very quickly. So also we must think that our human life is also impermanent. There is no certainty when we are going to die. We think that it is very precious, it is very nice, it is like a gem, it is like a jewel. But if you are not using this jewel properly, then you die without using your precious gem. So, it's good enough to king over these phenomena which are ever impermanent. Our life goes so swiftly. It's not waiting for us, even a single second. Goes on and it won't return back. So it is better for us to search the ultimate or the supreme or the everlasting happiness. That is more important. Therefore, we must think that we must search something who can guide us to take away from this suffering, ocean of suffering. And this cannot be done from outer phenomena, outer material, or other, say, any kind of comfort from outer substance. We won't get any everlasting happiness from there. So, if we think over the preciousness of human life, ever presence of impermanence and death, and then comes your action, which is also related with your mind. Most of your actions comes from your mind. Whatever you see outerly, the perception, from your perception, these outer things were created. That means there is nothing which is real. It is only the projection. It is only the creation of the mind. So in this way, if we go on thinking on this, a cause and effect, karmas, that means whatever we accumulate, any kind of karmas. In karmas, generally speaking, it comes good karmas and bad karmas. So there also, if we go on thinking, then we must realize ourselves that this life is not an ordinary one. This is a precious human life. So why not use it properly? Not spending your time on doing something, bad actions, some unvirtuous things. So that is not necessary. If you go on doing that, then normally we will always wander into this samsara. It's like a cycle. So normally it comes that way. So in the last, at last we must think that where we are in this samsara. But this samsara is not the real one. There is no reality at all. Because if you go on thinking from the lower realms to the upper realms, that means six realms in this samsara, wherever we go, we find, we see only the sufferings. So if we always see, if we always feel the sufferings, then why not try to get rid of from this samsara? Why not try to get rid of from this suffering? So with these ideas, if you go on thinking on these four foundations now, four thoughts which reverse your mind from the ocean of suffering and liberate our own mind to deliverance, or in Sanskrit we say nirvana. So whatever, with these thinkings, Buddha used to teach these four foundations to all living beings, only to turn the mind of all living beings towards the Dharma. That is necessary. Otherwise, if we go on thinking only for the negative, say, this is a precious human body, it's very difficult to obtain, means this is also a negative. And it is wherever we see, wherever we hear, these are only the, say, not real. They are not real. If you go on talking that way, then naturally again it comes the negative. And then comes good karmas and bad karmas. And this bad karma or good karma is also again talking about whatever we do, whatever we speak, whatever we think, always comes something bad karmas. Always hatred, jealousy, anger, passion, full of defilements everywhere, whatever we do. So in this way, if we think only the negative, then that's not enough. And we also used to think that this samsara is full of suffering. Now again, that is also talking about negative again. So if we think only the negative, then these four foundations are no use at all. Buddha, it doesn't mean that Buddha taught these four negatives only, but Buddha wanted to teach these four just to turn our, change our mind towards dharma. That is more important. Just to change it towards dharma. That is why after meditating or after concentrating on these four thoughts, then we must realize, we must know that we should change this now. Change this and get rid of from this now. Try to do something which can help you to get rid of from these four negatives. Then only that is useful enough. So, it doesn't mean that if your mind changes towards dharma, it doesn't mean that there is no any guide, the supreme guide. Yes, Buddha taught there is a guide. There are guides who can help you to get rid of from this samsara. Now, who are these guides? They are called Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. We say, normally speaking, it's a general speaking now. Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. Now, Buddha, Dharma and Sangha always helps you. He never deceives. His teachings never deceives any living beings. It is for the benefit of all living beings. So, if we go or take refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, then they will show us the right path. They will give us the right teaching. They will give us the right result also. Therefore, it is necessary whoever, it doesn't mean that only the Buddhist should practice, Buddhist should take refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. It doesn't mean that way. But each and every living being can take refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. Buddha's teachings are not limited only for one religion. Buddha's teaching is always for the benefit of all living beings. But it's very difficult to see or hear or to meet this Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. It's very difficult to meet. So we say that we are Buddhist. That means we met it, we listened the teachings of Buddha, and we are related with the Sanghas. We say that way, but actually that is not the real meaning. The real meaning is all living beings, whoever they are, if they are related with these three jewels, it is beneficial. And it will also guide until the enlightenment. It will take you to nirvana. It will also help you to fully attaining the fully enlightenment, Buddhahood. So therefore, taking refuge is very important. So today I prefer to speak something about taking refuge. Now here, when I say Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Now, this is a Sanskrit word, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Because Buddha used to teach his teachings to all living beings in Sanskrit language. Yes, many people, there is some contradictions. Some say the Hinayanas, they say that Buddha used to teach in Pali language. But Mahayana and Vajrayana, they say that Buddha used to teach in Sanskrit language. But both are right according to Buddhist teachings. Buddha has the quality. Buddha has immense, immeasurable qualities. So among them, the best quality is his voice. Buddha used to speak in one language, but each and every living thing, they hear in their own language. That is the power of Buddha's speech. So, whatever the Mahayana or Vajrayana, they say that Buddha used to teach in Sanskrit, it is all right, it's true. And if the Hinayanas, they say that Buddha used to teach in Pali language, that is also true. But the God and Goddesses, if they say that Buddha used to teach in their language, that is also true, because they hear when Buddha speaks. If the birds and animals also, when they hear the teachings of Buddha, they say that Buddha used to teach in our language, that is also true, because Buddha has that power. When he speaks in one language, all living beings, they know in their own language. So Buddha is flawless. Buddha is completely awakened. So now the word Buddha is translated into Tibetan language. We say Sangye. Now Sang means fully awakened, or the all kind of dualistic mind is purified. That is Sang. Dualistic mind is purified. That is Sang. Ye is expansion, actually. Expanding. Now, what expands? The full awakened wisdom mind is fully awakened. The Buddha nature awakes. He knows he is omniscience. He is omnipresent. He knows everything. He knows past, present, and future. Everything as if he knows this flower at present time. He knows everything. So that is Buddha. That is Sangye. Now, Sangye, there are different, many, many Buddhas. Buddha's mind, or what should I say, Buddha's wisdom mind is always compassionate to all living beings. He is always present in front of all living beings. Now, we say that I can't see Buddha. But it doesn't mean there is no Buddha. Buddha is always in front of you. But then what happened? We can't see Buddha. Because of our dualistic mind, because of our ignorance, we can't see Buddha clearly. If we wash or if we purify all these dualistic mind, then we can see Buddha in front of us. We can talk with Buddha also. We can receive the teaching from Buddha also. So it depends upon you, depends upon the individuals to purify this negative or defilement, obscurations. Only if we destroy, dispels, or purify all kind of defilement and obscuration, then we are also awakened. Normally in Buddhist teaching we say that we all living beings are Buddha. If all living beings are Buddha, then normally most of the people, they ask this question saying that we don't know anything. Whatever we used to see, we can't see it immediately, or say, the future we can't see it also. The past life also we can't tell you immediately. If we can't tell that way, then we are not Buddhas. But it doesn't mean that way now. Buddha seed, the Buddha nature is within us. If it's awakened, then we are also Buddha. So therefore, what I mean to say is, Buddha is fully awakened, free from all dualistic mind. All dualistic mind is purified, and non-dualistic wisdom mind is expanded immeasurably. That means he knows everything. He is flawless. There is no any flaw. Flawlessness. That means, what should I say? He don't have any kind of obscurations, dualistic minds, perception, nothing. Everything is purified. So that is Buddha. So we are taking refuge to Buddha now. He is not an ordinary one. If we take refuge in such person, in such extraordinary beings like Buddha, then he will always guide us. He is always compassionate. He will never deceive us. That is one point. Now comes Dharma. Dharma in Sanskrit language means to hold. Normally, that is the right translation, I think. So if I am not mistaken, then that must be the real translation. To hold, Dharma, Dharan in Sanskrit, they say to hold. To hold means to hold from falling from the lower realms, falling from the in the sansar. That means we must take care of our mind, let not fall down, but try to do something, hold from there, and then practice yourself and go up to nirvana, liberate yourself. That is Dharma. In Tibetan we say ch, sangye ch. Now, ch, which helps us to purify our mind. It holds us to do something bad. It stops us to doing from bad karmas. So that is ch. In easy way, we can say that Dharma is the teaching of Lord Buddha. Dharma is the speech of Lord Buddha. Then comes Sangha. Now Sangha is the group, the gatherings of the disciples. That is Sangha. Those persons who promised, saying that they don't want to do any kind of bad actions. Now they will always do something good karmas, do something good actions. Whatever they speak nice for the benefit of other living beings. Whatever they think, they always think that they wanted to become Buddha, become fully enlightened. And that is for the benefit of all living beings. So the person who prefers to do something good, the person who prefers to go, get rid of from this sansara, from this suffering. He wanted to destroy all the sansara, sufferings. So such person is called Sangha. This is a simple meaning, word by word meaning. Now, we say that we want to take refuge under these Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. Because countless lives, we have taken countless lives in the previous life. We have taken countless lives. So during those lives, we didn't find any kind of ultimate or the everlasting or the permanent happiness. We didn't find that. Now, this life, we are in human precious life. Why not do something good and try to search the right path and try to get rid of from this samsara and try to become Buddha, fully awakened, so that you can help all living beings. If you become Buddha, then you are become so powerful to help all living beings. A person who is full of ignorance, who has dualistic mind, can help living beings, but he can't help immeasurable. He can't help the countless living beings at a time, because his mind is dualistic mind. So that is why if you purify all those dualistic mind and become fully awakened and become Buddha, then your activities are really very useful. It is immense. It is very useful to all living beings, for countless living beings. That is why we take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, the three jewels. In all those lives, you see only the sufferings. Previous lives, you see only the sufferings. And you didn't met a good teacher even. Now, this human precious life, after doing some sort of good karmas in your previous life, now you are in the human life. Now, why not use it properly? It is good enough to use it properly. Then only you are wise enough. Now, how to use it now? You must find a good teacher. You listen to him. You try to practice that, whatever he said. The teachings of Buddha, you just practice, listen to the teachings of Buddha. The teachings of Buddha never deceive you. It's unfailing friend. It's always helping. It is always useful to cure your diseased mind. So that is why we take refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Now, when normally speaking, we Buddhists, we say that if I wear this type of cloth, I say that I am Buddhist. But if my mind is not taking refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and my mind is not controlling, then I am not Buddhist. Only cloth is Buddhist. Outerly, it is Buddhist. So no use of saying I am Buddhist. So it is good enough to think over yourself, what is within you, why you are in this samsara for many, many lives. You must think over and over, then you can realize that there is no way other than Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. If you practice Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, or if you practice Buddha's teachings, then it can help you to gain the ultimate happiness. So, generally speaking, we say that we Buddhists, we normally used to take refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha from the very beginning. It is necessary. So, as soon as you take refuge from a qualified teacher, then you receive the refuge vows, something like that. And after receiving that, you promised that I will never do something that is against of Dharma, something that is against of living beings. I will never do such things. We promise that way when we take refuge. If you take refuge in Buddha, then we say that I always pray to Buddha. I always prostrate before Buddha. I always remember Buddha. Whatever I see, any kind of bad actions, whatever I see, any kind of obscurations or difficulties, problems, frustrations,